Matthew chapter 23 tonight, Matthew 23, verses 1 to 12. Matthew 23, 1 to 12. What group in the Bible, religious group, would you least want to be a part of from Jesus' day? What religious people would you not want to be a part of, a group? Is anybody thinking Pharisees? The Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? Easton Bible Dictionary says they're separatist. They were probably the successors of the Hasidians, the pious, a party that originated in the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. That would be back in the 2nd century BC. There was a revolt among the Jewish people against him and his heathenizing policies that were imposed upon the Jews. The first mention of the Pharisees is in the description by 1st century historian Josephus. There were three sects of people, of Jews, schools, if you will, schools of thought, and they were a part of one of them. The other two were the Essenes and the Sadducees. We've talked about both of those before. In the time of our Lord, the Pharisees were perhaps the most popular of the different religious sects of Jews. They were real popular among the people. They were extremely accurate. They were very minute in detail about the things pertaining to the laws of Moses. Paul was brought before the council of Jerusalem before he was arrested, or should say after he was arrested, and before he appealed to Caesar. He was taken before the Jews where he professed himself to be a Pharisee. There was much that was sound about their creed, but for the most part, it was just a religious form. The Amish people, a lot of them, they're not saved. Many of them are not saved. Some of them who are devout Amish are not saved, but they have a very strong religious. And people look up to them because they're a moral people for the most part, very separated. And the Pharisees were much like that. So sort of a modern day example might be among the Amish. There was a very lax morality among them. They were, the first notice of them in the scripture is Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. And they were, along with the Sadducees, called a generation of vipers by the Lord in Matthew chapter 3. They were noted for their self-righteousness, for their pride. They were frequently rebuked by our Lord. They stood in opposition to his ministry quite often. They were very persistent in that opposition. They could not bear his doctrine because it differed from their tradition, which they had exalted to the same level as the scripture, as the law. And they did everything they could to destroy his influence. Satan used them. Recognizing the character of the Pharisees will help us to avoid two of the greatest pitfalls, I believe, that are in Christendom today. Two very serious pitfalls in Christendom today. One of them is hypocrisy, being hypocritical holders of the truth, verses 1 to 4. Hypocritical holders of the truth. They had the truth. They knew the word of God, but they were hypocrites, as pointed out here in these verses. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they speak for Moses. They speak of the law. All therefore, verse 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So what does that verse say of them? They are hypocrites. They teach one thing, they do another. In another place, Matthew 23 and verse 23, the Lord said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, what? Hypocrites. Ye do, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So the Lord was very straightforward in his talk to his addressing the scribes and the Pharisees that they were hypocrite. Hypocrisy among the religious, even believers now, today, is pretty common, isn't it? Hypocrisy among believers. Had a guy tell me real recently, just a couple of weeks ago, he didn't want to go to church with hypocrites. I said, well, you're out of luck. Because you can't go to church without having hypocrites. I said, are you a hypocrite? He said, yeah, I guess I am. I said, well, from one hypocrite to another. Glad, nice to meet you. We don't always do what we say. We make mistakes. You have to let people be people. And so it was a good interaction with him. But it's true, church members, religious people, even the best, sometimes appear to be hypocrites. I used to hear my dad say, occasionally, son, you do as I say, not as you do as I say do, not as I do. Did you ever hear that? That's terrible, isn't it? You hear, practice what you preach. You would say that to somebody who you feel is very hypocritical. I want us to compare the first century Pharisees with the 21st century Pharisees or hypocrites. You might expect me to say, well, I'm going to talk about those legalist Bible thumpers in the most conservative, super conservative churches. And they probably have their similarities, but I want to look the other direction tonight and talk about liberals. Liberals. They're like Pharisees, in a sense. They have redefined godliness. They've rewritten the rules. They fight for tolerance for everything, about everything. Be tolerant. Everything about religion, about tradition, they'll fight for it, but they won't argue too much if you're talking about righteousness. They're sort of tolerant of people who want to be unrighteous. The first century hypocrite Pharisees claimed to be ministers of the righteousness of God, but defined it in terms not even defensible with Scripture. The Lord said, You teach the commandments of man for doctrine. The 21st century hypocrite Pharisee says the same thing. They claim to be ministers of righteousness. They define it in terms that are not defensible by scriptures. You go to see these churches, they're liberal churches. And they have their trap set, their drum behind the glass. And they have the rock music. And they have all sorts of things that we say, well, but the Bible says this. And they'll argue about it. They'll defend themselves, but they can't do it with scripture. In the first century, tradition and their own philosophies became law. They exalted them. And in the 21st century, there are religious people. There have rather humanistic philosophies. If it feels good, do it. If it works, it must be good. If it reaches others, then it's the best way. If it does the job. And they become, those ideas become law. And they're exalted even above the scripture. Their ways are not defensible with scripture. The first century Pharisees taught what they judged to be right rather than what God said is right. It matters what I say, not what God says. Well, they wouldn't come out and say it just that way, but they disagreed with God. They promoted their own ways. They hated Jesus because he taught the truth, and the truth condemned their practices. You have somebody today preaching the word, telling the truth. Thus saith the Lord. Just read it right out of the scriptures. People don't like that because it exposes and condemns their practices. The first century Pharisees refused to listen to anyone who was not in agreement with them, and so do the 21st century Pharisees. They lived like God's word was negotiable, while their tradition was not. Tradition was not. And in our day, same thing is true. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding, unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Modern Phariseeism says, I'll do it, even if it means I have to do it myself. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But their Bibles stay on the nightstand all week long. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But we're having guests over on Sunday and will not be able to come to church. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And we have people who are completely ecumenical. They lock arms with anybody who calls themselves a Christian, with any kind of an organization, Billy Graham organization, the contemporary music movement. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Mary Jean and I were pretty close to a church that announced on their board that they were going to have a doggy roast communion service on Saturday night. A doggy roast, a hot dog roast over an open fire and have communion service. We read in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And now, if you were in the presence of the Lord, you'd fall on your face. And yet we come to church and there are those liberal hypocrites who would say, nothing wrong with an earring. Wear your blue jeans. Come in a tank top. If you just come as you are, we'll be accepting. Their philosophies, their opinions, their traditions, they'll fight for them. And they'll fight against you if you point out that there's something wrong with their tradition or their philosophy, their position on something. So the point is, anyone who departs from the Word of God in issuing a standard of living, a standard of worship, a standard of ministry, makes the same mistakes as the Pharisees did in their day. They may be on the more conservative side of things as we view them, and the liberals of today may be on the other end of that spectrum, but still hypocrites, still departed from the Word of God, still promoting their own ideas and their own philosophies above the principles and precepts of the Word of God. They become hypocritical holders of the truth. Could we be that? Hypocritical holders of the truth? Secondly, in verses 5 to 7, they're motivated by vanity and pride. It says in verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men rabbi. What motivates these men? Well, it's their pride, obviously. Their vanity. What motivates the big shots in the big churches today? Is it not the biggest church? Reaching the most young people? Making the most friends? Meeting the needs, the most needs of the family? Perceived needs, they would be. Pioneering the way for new thoughts and practices. Everybody wants to leave their mark on this generation and the generations to come. But the Bible says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. How can we avoid being a hypocrite, being proud and vain? How can we do it? The next verse, verse 8, tells us, but be not ye rabbi, For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. The word rabbi means my great one, my teacher. The Lord is not teaching that respect to a teacher is wrong. He tells us to give honor to whom honor is due. His point is that no man should carry some spiritual title that suggests that he's the author of truth, that he can't be wrong. There's only one author of truth, only one person deserving of our complete obedience, and that is the Master with a capital M, the Master, the Lord Jesus. So we need to put him in his place. Now here it gets really practical. I've moved real quickly through this. The Pharisees of old, they were hypocritical holders of the truth, and they were motivated by vanity and pride. How can we prevent it? Let Jesus be the Lord. Let him be the teacher. Let the Lord Jesus be the teacher, the master of your life, instead of yourself. And you'll not be a hypocritical holder of truth. You'll not be motivated by pride. You see it right there in verse 8? Verse 9 says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven." The context here is he's not teaching that it's wrong for a child to look at his paternal progenitor and call him father. That's not the idea. Paul spoke to Timothy, his son in the faith. Was that wrong? No, that's not against this. Father here is referring to the one by which everything originates, making him the supreme authority. His point, again, is that no man is deserving of this title, as I just defined it, of father. There's only one supreme authority out of whom is issued life and everything. That's God, our Father. We need to put him in his place. In your life and in the lives of those that you teach, let Jesus Christ be Lord. Let God be your Father, your ultimate authority. Supreme authority. If you'll let God be spiritual father instead of anyone else, or instead of doing your own thing, then you'll not be a hypocritical holder of the truth, and you'll not be motivated by pride. I was thinking of Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Whatever the Word of God says, that's the truth. Whatever God says, doesn't matter what I say or what you say or what anybody else says, if they disagree, if we disagree with God. From God, everything exists. Everything persists from God. Jesus Christ is the giver of truth. He brought God to man. Let him be the Lord. Let God the Father be our heavenly Father. And thirdly, verses 11 and 12, humble yourself. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whatsoever or whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So you want to know how to not be like the Pharisees, hypocrites, prideful, vain, arrogant. Let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. Let God be your heavenly Father, the ultimate supreme authority. And you put yourself in your place. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. If we'll do those things, then we'll not be like the Pharisees of old. Everybody looks at everybody else and claims to be Christ's true disciples, calling everyone else Pharisees, like I'm doing tonight. We call them legalists. We call them liberals. We call each other names. Who's right? Who has the truth? Who's wrong? Who has really given Christ their true allegiance? Who really lives in light of God's supreme authority? Who is it? Can we tell by looking? It doesn't matter what I think, how I would define it, or how you would define it. It only matters what God says. I would ask, who adheres to His word? Jesus said our love for Him would be revealed by our obedience to His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You want to know who's right? Who's keeping the commandments? If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. He that keepeth my commandments, he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby ye know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Keeping the commandments, mentioned several times in the New Testament. You want to know who the hypocrites are? They're the ones that don't keep the commandments. You want to know who's right? It's the one who the world hates. Jesus said, if we do what He says, the world won't like us. The world will hate us. In John 15 and verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Marvel not, my brethren, he said in 1 John 3:13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Who has it right? Who are the Lord's true disciples? Well, they're the ones that obey His word. They're the ones that the world doesn't like. They're the ones who are making to the death disciples. They're producing disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if any man come after me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. People who love the Lord more than life. People who are producing disciples who love the Lord more than life. They're the ones who have the real goods. They're the true disciples of Christ. They're not hypocritical holders of the truth. They're not vain and proud, and that's not their motivation. They humble themselves. They let Jesus Christ be the Lord of their life. They let God be the Heavenly Father. And they humble themselves before Him. The Lord would have us not be like the Pharisees. When you think of the Pharisees, when we think of the Pharisees, we probably think of the super conservative. It's not necessarily true. The characteristic of their hypocrisy and their pride can be seen all through the spectrum, even among people of good churches like Corinth Baptist Church. A hypocrite motivated by pride? Is it possible that that could happen at Corinth Baptist Church? Absolutely. Absolutely. God help us not to be the Pharisees of the 21st century. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share this little thought tonight. I pray for myself, Lord, that I might be real before You. Lord, You're my Father. Jesus, my Lord. Lord, may it be so every day, every minute, for myself and for each of my brothers and sisters who sit here before us. I pray, dear God, that we would not be like the Pharisees of old. Father, that we would not be hypocritical holders of the truth. That we would not do what we do because of our vanity and our pride. Thank you for what you'll accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.